I count it a privilege to be here at what I consider to be one of the most unique Bible conferences in all the world. When I received the invitation to come and preach, I gladly accepted. And I trust that the Lord will bless the preaching of His Word throughout this week. This morning, I want to turn your attention to the Word of God. And I want you to open your Bible at Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And in this chapter, we will find one of the greatest of the saints of God in prison. This world has hated Christ and has hated all those who have loved Christ. In fact, the more fervently you love the Lord Jesus, the more ardently the world will hate you. And in this chapter 40 of Genesis, we have an incident in the life of Joseph, a truly great servant of the Lord. We're going to read just the latter part of the chapter, but before I do that, could I remind you that in this chapter, Joseph, who is in prison falsely, having been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of misconduct, and he is joined in prison by two high-ranking officials from the court of Pharaoh. One is Pharaoh's butler, the other is Pharaoh's baker. While they are in prison for some offense, we are not told what, but it was an offense that greatly angered the king. While they are there, they dream a dream. Each man dreams his own dream. And they're troubled by what they have dreamed. And Joseph, seeing their troubled countenance, makes inquiry of them. And they tell him their dream. And he, given wisdom to do so by the Lord, gives them the meaning of their dream. The butler is to be restored. The baker is to die. We take up the story in the verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. May the Lord bless His word, and could we just unite our hearts in a brief word of prayer? Father in heaven, I pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word to all of our hearts. Grant to me, O God, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Enable me to minister Thy word with power today. Take from me all self-confidence, all reliance on the flesh, and enable me to lean upon the Lord. May this Savior be seen today. Oh, help us to lift Him up, and may our eyes see Him. And Lord, may our hearts long and pine after him today. Oh, answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of Genesis, you will find the history of seven men, major characters in the Old Testament. The greatest amount of space is given to recording the history of Joseph. I believe that to be so because Joseph, of all the Old Testament characters, indeed of all the men whose lives we read about in the Bible, was a man most like the Lord Jesus Christ. And might I say to those who are training for the ministry, indeed to all Christians who would seek to serve the Lord, heaven makes most use of those who are most like the Lord Jesus Christ. And more space is given in the book of Genesis to write up the story of Joseph, because I believe that he was a man most like the Lord Jesus. In this chapter, we have one aspect of his likeness to Christ, and I want to highlight it in order to challenge your hearts and to stir you up in your love for the Savior. In the last verse of the chapter, we read, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." That is a reference to a request that Joseph made when he was interpreting the dream of the butler. You can read that request on the verse 14. "Having told the butler that within a short time he was going to be restored to his former position, he was going to be reconciled to the king, and he was going to enjoy the king's favor once again," he says, verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I think that in that cell, forgotten by the butler, Joseph pictures for us the Savior and the way that he has been forgotten by many of his people. Could I firstly say, the butler should have remembered Joseph, for the butler owed to Joseph a great deal. He was in debt to Joseph, and being in debt to Joseph, he should never have forgotten him. But he did. Look at the debt that the butler owed to Joseph. During his imprisonment, the butler was served and looked after and cared for by Joseph. In the verse 1, we read of how the butler had offended the king of Egypt, and how, verse 2, Pharaoh was wroth, a word denoting the strength of the anger that was felt in the king's heart against this man. It was an anger unto death. He was angry enough to execute him. Indeed, being placed in prison, he was under sentence of death and condemnation. And it was in that state of estrangement from the king that Joseph cared for him. Verse 3, they are put in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. My dear friend, if you're a Christian, from this day you can trace back to the time of your conversion, the mercy, the kindness, the goodness of the Lord. He has served you. It's a strange thing. There's a great emphasis upon us serving the Lord Jesus, and sometimes we forget how He has served us. All heaven has been placed at the disposal of the people of God. God the Father, in His love for sinners, sent His Son to die for them. By that service indeed. That service indeed. But dear friend, I want you to look back beyond your conversion. And I want you to remember those days when you never thought on the Lord, when you lived in defiance of His word, when you trampled underfoot the holy law of God. And I want you to recognize that the Lord was serving you then. Here He was in prison, under sentence of death, condemned by the king. What a picture of you and I in our unconverted state. And it was in that position, in that time when he was out of favor with the king, that Joseph served the butler. Long before I was converted, long before I knew anything of the name of Jesus, Jesus loved me, looked after me. And when my feet made haste to hell, He preserved me. He preserved me. What a debt we owe to Christ. Yet how quickly we forget Him. Look again. See how solicitous Joseph was of the well-being of the butler in the time of his soul distress, his mental distress for having dreamed this dream. They were greatly troubled. See what we read in verse 6, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? What a tender heart Joseph had. What a caring heart Joseph had. Oh, praise the Lord for His mercy. How He cared for us. How anxious He was for us. But we never thought upon His name. It's a most unusual thing, you know, for one prisoner to in any way care for another prisoner. Dr. Bob mentioned our acquaintance with what we call Her Majesty's Hotel back home. And in that institution, I'm trying to preserve the reputation of Bob Jones University and picking my words carefully. But in that, we might as well go the whole hog, in that prison, I never found one prisoner who cared in the slightest way for the discomfort or the trouble or the anxiety of any other prisoner. They all considered that they had enough trouble of their own. And here is Joseph, a prisoner, caring for a fellow prisoner. Oh, the love that was in his heart, a reflection, a picture of the love there is in the Savior's heart for us. You'll see, too, how that he urged a confiding in him in that time of trouble. He said, "What is it that's wrong? Tell me." I can well remember the times when I longed to confide in someone. And I knew that there was a God in heaven who was ready to hear. But having the sinner's heart, I was unwilling to cry unto him and leave my burden with the Lord. The Savior says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's what Joseph was saying. Tell me your trouble. See what I can do for you. When he did tell him his trouble, it's interesting that he gave him good news. He said, "Well, I'll tell you the meaning of your dream. In 3 days, you're going to be restored to your old position." All that Joseph told the butler came true. Am I not right in saying that the butler should never have forgotten Joseph? For he owed Joseph a great debt. But again, he should not have forgotten Joseph because of the wicked treatment that Joseph had received at the hands of men. You see, in the verse 14, Joseph urges the butler, "Now please do not forget me, but think on me and mention me to Pharaoh. For," he says, verse 15, "I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." Nothing should keep the cause of Christ, the name of Christ, the person of Christ, at the forefront of our thoughts than the recollection of how he is treated, how he has been treated by this world. Irish republicanism, that cursed scourge on the face of a land that would otherwise know much peace and prosperity, has gone round the world. And indeed, it has centered much of its activities in the United States. And it has gained support and sympathy, manifested primarily by many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars given to its various agencies, by telling the people of the world of how it is suffering, how it has been mistreated, how it has been persecuted by the British authorities and by the Protestant majority in the north of Ireland. And there are many, many people in the United States of Irish origin whose heart goes out and whose pocketbook goes out to Irish republicanism simply because of the story of woe and misery and suffering that Irish republicanism has told in this country. There's nothing like a sad story to whip up sympathy. The difference between what Joseph said and what Irish republicanism has said is the difference between heaven and hell, day and night. Irish republicanism has sold a parcel of lies to the people of the United States. I live in a county near, or that actually borders, the frontier with Southern Ireland, the Irish Republic. And in my area, there have been 80 Protestants murdered. 80 Protestants murdered. No one has ever been tried for any of those murders. Murdered by the IRA. Murdered by gunmen lying in wait, shooting a man on his way to his place of employment. Murdered by placing booby-trap bombs on a farm building so that as a man goes to feed his livestock, he opens a door, he moves a gate, and it triggers off a bomb and he's blown to pieces. In many instances, the local people, although they have no proof, know who it is that done these things. But never once has a Roman Catholic been murdered in retaliation. Not once. Now, I must be honest. My friend, it's not because we didn't want to do it, but it's because we fear God. The feeling of vengeance is part of our fleshly nature. Many times I have stood amongst crowds of men who have shed tears, tears of sorrow and tears of rage and tears of frustration at having to go on living, knowing that any one of us could be the next victim, knowing who it is most likely will murder you, knowing it is that we have a government that in its treachery sees some purpose in allowing us to be murdered. But being afraid of God and therefore not taking retaliation. There's not a society under the face of God's Son that would take with what we have taken. It's all the more grievous, therefore, when we find that the sympathy of many people in America has been stirred up by the very opposite to what is the truth. There's nothing should have stirred up the memory of the butler like the story of Joseph's mistreatment. He was the subject of unwarranted hatred. Hated by those he had only sought the good of, his brethren. He was the subject of unparalleled treachery. He was the subject of untruthful accusation. He was the subject of unjust imprisonment. How like the Lord Jesus he was. How like the Savior Joseph was. My dear friend, no one has been slandered like the Savior. No one has been accused of so many falsely accused of so many crimes as the Lord Jesus. And the way the world treats his name, treats his word, treats his honor, treats this person today should stir up in us the deepest sympathy and should cause us never to forget him. But like the butler we do, we forget the Lord. Again, he should not have forgotten Joseph, because when released from prison, he was surrounded daily by that which should have reminded him of the one who gave him the message of hope. Verse 13, Joseph said, "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." And it came to pass, just as Joseph had predicted. But he forgot Joseph. Even though as he stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh smiled upon him, and he enjoyed the favor of the king, he should have remembered the one who had prophesied of this restoration. Sometimes we forget the giver because we are so caught up with the gift. We are so involved with the blessings of salvation that we forget the one who gave himself that we might be free. Like the 10 lepers who came to the Lord Jesus in their misery, and in their pain, and in their rejection, and in their suffering, and they cried out on him for mercy. And in a word, they were healed. Delivered of that awful disease. Their strength restored. And the world of liberty and freedom and peace and joy was opened up to them. And they headed for home, laughing, dancing, rejoicing, and forgetting the one who had done it for them. Only one stopped and came back. Last night I was blessed as our brother Nelson preached. Particularly, I thought he pressed home a much-needed reminder of how that being surrounded by the blessings of God, we become so familiar with them, we take them for granted. Familiarity, they say, breeds contempt. And many times, young people, we grow contemptuous of that which cost much by those who have gone before. Perhaps the trouble back home has made us love the gospel all the more. We recognize the Church of Rome to be the enemy of the gospel. I know that in maybe even this part of the world, that sounds like bigotry, but if you lived where I lived, that's just a common everyday fact. That's just a common everyday fact. I dare say if you lived in Spain, it would be a common everyday fact as well. Or Brazil, or in some other Roman Catholic dominated country. But here, it sounds a wee bit more like bigotry. Don't ever grow over familiar with the great gifts that you now enjoy. Don't forget the price that had to be paid in order that you might enjoy them. Don't forget the struggles. Don't forget the tears and the sweat, the toil of men, of good men and good women in the past. But above all, think on the cross, that I might know reconciliation with God. Jesus had to die. That I might know favor and stand in His presence justified by faith. Jesus had to suffer. And that butler, as he stood and ministered to the king, was daily surrounded by that which should have reminded him of Joseph, but he forgot. He forgot. You're reminded in this university. You have facilities here, privileges here, that should cause you to praise God day in and day out. Cause you to be thankful. But then, we're like the butler. We forget. The last thing I want to say, when the butler did remember Joseph, look at what he did. You have it in the next chapter, the verse 19. Pharaoh has dreamed a dream. He's greatly perplexed by it. And the vexation of his spirit and the troubling of his mind stirs the memory of the butler. Verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Young man, young woman, mother, father, whoever you are today, if you recognize that in your life there has been a forgetting of the Lord, there has been a forgetting of the price that He paid in order to redeem you, there has been a forgetting of His love for you when you never even thought on His name, if there has been a forgetting of His graciousness and mercy, here's what you should do. Firstly, confess your fault. I do remember my faults this day. He confessed them. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise to God's people. We have an advocate with the Father when we sin. There is forgiveness for the child of God who forgets the Lord. Then again, he immediately began to testify of the power that Joseph had. Look at the verse 12. There was there with us, verse 12 of 41, there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man, according to his dream, did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged, a testifying of the power of Joseph. Let us, if we discover, and which of us would dare to say that there is no forgetfulness within our hearts, upon discovering our forgetfulness, let us confess it before the Lord, and let us immediately begin to testify and to tell of the power of Jesus. I love to tell the story. That's what the hymn writer said. Oh, may that be our foremost love today, telling of Jesus and his power to help sinners, his power to bring to them good news, glad tidings, a message of love from the Father above. The result of his confessing of his fault and his testifying of Joseph's power resulted in an exalting and an honoring of Joseph. You know the rest of the story. How that Joseph was brought forth out of the prison. How that he told to Pharaoh his dream. How that Pharaoh, in recognition of his power and ability and wisdom, placed him on the throne second only to himself. And as a result, thousands of lives were delivered from famine. I leave you to apply those results to your own life. What might it not mean for the United States, for the world, if we stopped forgetting the Lord Jesus and told his story with the fervor that we should tell it? If you have forgotten the Lord today, follow the butler. Ah, we've followed the butler down into the valley of forgetfulness. Now let's follow him onto the mount of remembrance. Let us confess our faults today. Let us immediately begin to testify and tell of what Jesus has done for us. And it will lead to the enthronement of Christ in many lives and to the deliverance of souls. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. God bless you.